Praise God for His amazing faithfulness, love, and grace. 36 years of God's amazing work in and through CCF. To God be the glory. Let us all praise Him and thank Him for all that He has done. 36 years ago, we started as a small group. To be exact, just 3 families. But God impressed upon my heart at that time, focus on discipleship. Don't just share the gospel. Teach them how to disciple others, but first of all, help them become a disciple of Jesus. And that was 36 years ago. They were discipled. They invited their friends. Their friends were discipled. Their friends invited their friends. And the rest is history. The reality of all that God is doing, I can only say, to God be the glory. Every time we celebrate anniversary, I always tell our leaders to be careful. Because when you celebrate anniversaries, you have the positive side and you have the negative side. What do I mean? For example, let's start with the positive side. You are reminded of all that God has done and all that He will continue to do. You give God the glory. What is the negative side? We become man-centered. We begin to give glory to man's accomplishment. So there's always a danger. But to me, I like to remind all of us, as we celebrate our 36-year anniversary, let us focus on being God-centered. This is His mission. This is His work. Let us be reminded of why God has called CCF to existence. Why is this important? Because of the reality that many times we forget our mission. During anniversaries, we must always be reminded of why we exist. My prayer is that CCF leaders, not only in this generation, in the coming generations, will never forget the reason why God called CCF to existence, which is to what? Can you recite to me, do you recall the mission statement of CCF based on Matthew chapter 28? Let me recite for you. To honor God and to make Christ committed followers. Who will make Christ committed followers? This is based on the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? What is so great about it that it is unstoppable, that it is our greatest hope? Let me explain. What is the Great Commission? Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The Great Commission is anchored on who Jesus is. He's saying, all authority. So Jesus is telling us, He is not just an ordinary person. It's all authority in heaven and on earth. This is something that you and I cannot fully comprehend. All authority, meaning there's nobody higher than Jesus. He has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. There's nobody like that on this planet Earth. We have a president who is powerful, but he's only the president of the Philippines. We have the president of China. He's powerful, but he only has power in China. And here you have Jesus saying all authority in heaven and on earth, no equal. And Jesus demonstrated that to us while He was on earth. Authority over sickness. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk. And above all, He made the dead to come back to life. Such is the authority of Jesus, the most powerful being in the entire universe. Matthew 28 reminds us, it reminds me of the reality of who Jesus is, the Lordship of Jesus. I have a few observations about this particular verse. What are the convictions of the Great Commission? When I say convictions, the difference between convictions and belief are very simple. Belief is intellectual agreement, head knowledge. Conviction is not just believing in the head, it is in the heart. You embrace this. Conviction is something that you are willing to be passionate about. It is not just true in your head, it's very true in your heart. Number one is the Lordship of Jesus. He talks about Jesus came up and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me, the Lordship of Jesus. You must realize the Great Commission is anchored on who Jesus is. It's a mission given to us. You know why? Because the truth is sometimes the mission isn't easy. You will get discouraged. You will get tired. But Jesus is saying, all authority has been given to me. I'm going to back you up. What is our mission then? It's global. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We have a global God and our mission is global. What are we supposed to do? Look at this verse. Make disciples of all the nations. Now, in the English language of Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you have different verbs described. I want to ask you a question. What are the different verbs? Number one, you have the word go, the English translation. The next verb, you have make disciples. The next one, baptize. And the last verb is teach. Now, let me ask you, if you are from CCF or if you are our guest, what is the primary verb? The primary verb of Matthew 28 is make disciples. Why is that so important to make disciples? Before I explain to make disciples, notice the other verbs. They are called verbal participles. They are supporting the primary verb. Example, how do you make disciples? You go. As you go, you make disciples. How do you make disciples? You baptize them. How do you make disciples? You teach them. But the main verb is make disciples. Let me tell you why it is important to know this. Many people don't understand this. They think our mission is just to spread the gospel, to talk about Jesus. No, it's more than just talking about Jesus. It is taking the time to help people not just know Jesus, but to become the follower of Jesus. A disciple means a student, a learner, a follower. It's one thing to know Jesus in the head. It's another thing to become a committed follower. And we are commanded to go all over the world to make committed followers. This is so crucial. It is so important. Let me tell you why. To make disciples means you help somebody not just come to know Jesus. You help that person become Christ-like. So his character, his lifestyle will bring honor to the Lord because he's learning to become more and more like Jesus in love, in compassion, in humility. Why? To make disciples means you will attract people to Jesus, and the result is you begin to be like Jesus and you begin to share the gospel and help others, the result is spiritual multiplication. One of my great convictions about Matthew 28 is to make disciples. That is our mission statement. Let me ask you a question. Why is discipleship so important? Let me tell you why. Because it is to make sure that the followers of Jesus are not deceived into thinking Christianity is just like any religion. Mental assent, but no heart transformation. Why is discipleship so important? Let me share with you Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 to 23. Jesus warns us, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons? In your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, when Christianity becomes a religion and people are not discipled, the result is what? Jesus said, by their fruits, you shall know them. Discipleship is crucial because discipleship involves the transformation of the heart through the power of the living Savior. And discipleship will result in the right attitude toward the Lordship of Jesus. What do I mean? An attitude toward the Lordship of Jesus. The Great Commission is unstoppable for the reason is we begin to understand this is given by the commander-in-chief and we also recognize his lordship. We begin to trust him. You begin to follow him. And your attitude will change. Somebody once shared this with us years ago. If a commission, an instruction given by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? Do you know what he's saying? If all of us followers of Jesus will only recognize that Jesus is the King of Kings and he has given us a mission, you will not see it just as a duty. You will see it as an honor, a privilege to serve him. You see, your attitude will change. Discipleship is something that I pray you understand in the Great Commission. Recognizing his lordship and making disciples. Only disciples will recognize the lordship of Jesus. And the truth is this. How can you and I disciple others if we are not disciple ourselves? This is so crucial. So these are some of my convictions about Matthew chapter 28. That Jesus is Lord and he wants us to disciple people so that they will recognize his lordship. And by making disciples, the result is multiplication. What do I mean by multiplication? I really believe with all my heart that if you and I want to reach the whole Philippines, the whole world for Jesus, there is no other means other than making disciples. What do I mean? If I were to give you a mathematical test, let's say Bill Gates offers you 1 million pesos a day, and he will give you 1 million pesos a day for 30 days. Every day, 1 million. Or he will give you 1 peso a day, but you multiply that every day for 30 days. What will you prefer? Think about it. Think carefully. 1 million pesos a day for 30 days. In 30 days, how much will I have? 30 million pesos versus 1 peso a day. Multiply that every day for 30 days. if you are good in mathematics, you will choose the power of multiplication. Let me show you. 1 million a day, 30 days, 31 days, 31 million. 1 peso a day for 31 days, you multiply this, you have 1,073,000,000. You see the power of discipleship? Imagine one soul, 1 million soul. You bring 1 million soul to Jesus every year. In 30 years, 30 million, 31 million, versus you disciple one soul a year. Second year, 2 disciples. But notice, at the end of 30 years, you will have more disciples than simple addition. And my friend, most Christians don't understand the genius of Jesus when he tells us, make disciples. That's my conviction. The Great Commission is from the King of Kings. Take it seriously. It's an honor. The Great Commission is about discipleship. It's about multiplication. But more than that, the Great Commission deals with the greatest problem of humanity. Until you have this conviction that people are lost, apart from Jesus, you will never take the Great Commission seriously. What do we mean? Until you realize from your heart the root problem of humanity, the lostness. We are lost. This is the perspective of Jesus. According to Jesus in Luke chapter 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the eyes of Jesus, the reason why he came to sacrifice his life for us is because we are lost. What does it mean we are lost? The word lost comes from this word, apolumi. Apolumi has the idea of separation. Separated from God, alienated from God. When you die physically, you are separated. Your soul is separated from your body. But the Bible talks about another kind of death. Spiritual death, where your spirit is eternally separated from God. This is what makes our problem very serious. What do I mean? The whole world has taken a pause because of COVID-19. Why? Because it is very infectious. Why? Because many people have died. Statistically, we have 23 million people infected and 800 plus thousand have died. Statistically, in the Philippines, you have the same problem. 200 plus thousand infected, 3,137 have died. And that is why we are taking this seriously. What can I tell you? They describe COVID-19 as the invisible war. And the whole world is taking it seriously. But there's another invisible war. It's called sin. What's wrong with sin? I call sin the deadliest of all viruses. You know why? Because sin is the root of all human misery. As someone once said, sin is what keeps us from God and from life. It is in the face of every battered woman, the cry of every neglected child, the despair of every addict, and the death of every victim in every senseless war and killing. The root problem of humanity is sin. The Bible is very clear. all of us have sinned. Notice the infectious rate, 100%. What is the mortality rate? Well, the mortality rate is 100%. The wages of sin is death. This is something that people don't realize, why the Great Commission is so important. For me, it is very important because it deals with the root problem of humanity. What is our root problem? Sin. The consequences of sin, spiritual death. Jesus explained this. Luke 16, verses 19 onward, Jesus talks about the second death. He talks about there was a rich man. He habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate. He was covered with sores, longing to be fed with the crumbs, which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. I believe that this story is not just a parable. Why? Because you are given the name of the poor man. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was poor. And you have the rich man. And the Bible tells us the poor man died. Lazarus died first. And eventually, the rich man also died. If the Bible stops here, you will not know the seriousness of our lostness, of our problem. But Jesus made sure that you will understand the seriousness of the human condition. How serious it is. Jesus talks about after you die, life continues. And there are only two places after death. What are those two places? Either in the presence of God or away from the presence of God. And that is what Jesus talked about. In Luke 16, verse 22, the rich man died and was buried in Hades. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in the bosom. He cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue. I am in agony in this flame." Abraham said, "Remember, during your life, you received good things. Lazarus, bad things. Now he's being comforted. You are in agony. And besides all of this, there is a chasm." I want you to underline the word chasm. "Between us and you, there's a great," notice, "a great chasm, a great separation, fix, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." What Jesus is teaching us is after you die, your destiny is basically settled. You can no longer migrate from one place to another. It is so serious. It is so serious that the rich man requested the following: "I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not come to this place of torment." And Abraham said, "They, Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." What do you notice about the rich man? If you read the story, this is what struck me. He only asked for two things. Number one, he asked for water, for relief. Number two, he asked no longer water, he asked that somebody will go to his family members and warn them. Why? His perspective was changed. And then his priorities were changed. When he discovered the reality that there is life after death, the reality of two places only, the reality that this is something permanent, he began to have a passion to share the Bible, to share the gospel with his family members. While in the past, he didn't care about the Word of God. He didn't care about God or life after death. What changed him? Friend, it's called conviction. When you realize the truth, and I've seen many believers, you and I, we need to take the Great Commission seriously. Because not only is this from the King of Kings, that Jesus is Lord, but it talks about our human condition. We need the Lord. And you, I noticed something. He did not ask for a retrial. He did not beg for a reconsideration. He accepted the judgment of God. He accepted the punishment. Why? I believe on Judgment Day, all of us will realize how just God is. He never appealed this case. Friends, God is just. And that's why he wants you and me to warn everybody. Do you have that passion? Do you have that compassion? My wife always reminds me, we are so worried about COVID-19. We are so worried about people dying physically. My wife always reminds me, what about their spiritual death? Have you considered where people will go after they die? Every time my wife and I hear our friends or our friend's friend died, we have one question. Did they know the Lord? This morning, my wife and I had the privilege of sharing Christ with many people. We passed the gospel tracts. I remember going and having my blood tested, and in the clinic, we shared the gospel. Because my wife and I believe, we have this conviction that people need Jesus. I read somewhere that the Russians have discovered the COVID vaccine. And they made a public announcement. And I began to research why they made the public announcement of the COVID-19 vaccine. Because they were being attacked by newspapers, by the media. This is what the Russian article explained. It is unethical to not announce to the world if you have discovered a cure or a vaccine. Notice, let me repeat. What they are saying is this. It is unethical to not announce to the world if you have a cure. And this is what the article says. We are making it available, but we are not forcing anybody to take it. In short, if there is a solution, we need to announce it to the world. And you know what I'm reminded of? Jesus tells us there is a cure, there is a solution. But we are not taking it to heart, the Great Commission, to go all over the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. According to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, look at the cure. unless you have this conviction that Jesus is the cure for the human condition, our problem, our sinfulness, there is a cure. Let's read Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Do you notice how emphatic, how direct the Bible is? There is salvation in no one else. No other salvation. Except where? No other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Only through Jesus. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross to pay for the penalty of your sins and my sins. The Bible is so clear. The Great Commission is about Jesus, how He loved us, how He died for us. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, let me read for you. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. I want you to notice two words. In Jesus, we have redemption. We have forgiveness. That is the greatest need of humanity. I need forgiveness. I need redemption. You see, if the greatest need of humanity is money, if the greatest problem is poverty, then all the rich countries of the world should have no problems. Example, you look at Singapore, you look at Korea, you look at Europe, you look at the States. Look at their divorce rate, broken marriages, dysfunctional family, addiction, depression. You see, the problem is not poverty. Poverty is a byproduct of a deeper problem. I believe in helping the poor, but the root problem is the heart. People think it's education. Well, I submit to you, look at history. One of the most educated population during Second World War was Germany. They have more PhD. They have more people educated in college. But what happened to Germany? They came up with the craziest idea of killing 6 million Jews. How can people who are so educated have such a heart to basically wipe out an entire group of people all because they are different? Something is wrong with our heart. Friends, our root problem is the heart. Until the heart is transformed, nothing will change. And I praise God. Jesus is the answer. I'd like you to hear the testimony of one of our beloved member brother, Mr. Henry C. Jr.
And oh, what a joy to greet you all today. In a couple of weeks, we will be 6 months into our COVID lockdown. Being seniors, like Pastor Peter, my wife and I have been home since March with our eldest daughter, and thankfully, we are all well and enjoying each other's company. Our world today has been put on pause, and our lives have changed dramatically this year. But I do know within me that God is up to something, and we each have a part to play in His purpose and plan. It has never been about us, and certainly never been about me. Although there was a time I did not think this way. From an early age, we were trained to earn money and to be the best in business. Eventually, our family business grew and grew till it became one of the biggest conglomerates in the Philippines. Along with these successes came all the vices and sinful lifestyle of which I thought was the norm for a guy like me. The concept of eternal judgment and hell did not even occur to me as I reasoned out that as long as I did not rape, kill, or commit major sins, and as long as I think I'm a good person, God will understand and let me through into his kingdom. And boy, was I wrong. Just imagine if I would have happened to me during those wild and reckless days. I would have gone straight to hell because I did not accept the grace Lord Jesus has given to us freely. There was a verse that caught my attention, and it was this: what will it profit a man who gains the whole world but loses his soul? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Only Jesus could turn my life around from the awful sinner that I once was. Through weekly Bible studies, I learned that the saving of a soul is all by the grace of God. It cannot be earned or deserved. No amount of good works, religious rites, or sacrifices can guarantee heaven. I realized that my sinful lifestyle can only be forgiven and cured by Christ our Savior through his death and shedding of his blood. God, help me to repent, accept his precious gift of forgiveness, and I gave my life to Jesus. Today, he continued to help me in my struggle from sin and be transformed. Slowly, my earthly desires of just wanting to please myself have gradually been shifting to wanting to please and honor God. Recently, because of this lockdown, my family and I began to meet weekly over Zoom to study the Bible and have been inviting friends even to join us. Indeed, this COVID is a form of reckoning from God. People nowadays are more conscious of eternity and are more willing to ask themselves the hard question: am I ready to face the worst possible scenario and to know where our final destination is? During this time, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 became foremost in my mind, and it says, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I realize now, more than ever, I have been immeasurably blessed. Each day is a gift, an opportunity to honor a love for Christ. And if death ever comes, as it surely will eventually, I will be with him forever, my Savior and Redeemer. My soul is secure. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this: "And he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now ye have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." I want others, especially my brothers and my sisters, whom I dearly love, to experience the same healing, joy, peace, and freedom that I now enjoy. Would you please pray for me and the whole CCF family to be faithful to the end to our Lord Jesus? Thank you. And may all the praise and glory and honor be to him alone. Hallelujah.
What do you notice about his testimony? The life was transformed. His passion was changed. Look at his desire. He wanted his friends, family members, to come to know Jesus. The truth is this: until you experience the forgiveness of God, the love of God, the transformative power of Jesus, until you become a disciple of Jesus, you will not have a burden to share this with others. Let me repeat: you cannot share what you don't have. How can you share with somebody that you have not experienced yourself? So my encouragement to all of us today is this: those of you who are listening, have you experienced the salvation that is offered by Jesus Christ? Have you experienced Jesus Christ personally? Not as a religion, but as your Savior and your Master. Friends, Because the call of the Great Commission is for all of us. It's for all believers. We must embrace the calling of the King of Kings. Go into all the world and make disciples. If we don't take this seriously, we are not going to fulfill God's plan. And yet, God's plan and mission is unstoppable. Either He's going to do it through us or through others. But God is saying, this is my mission to all of us. And you know what? Until you develop the conviction deep in your heart that the cure is not only Jesus, you must have this conviction that God loves us. He promised lasting presence. Why did He make that amazing promise? Look at Matthew 28. I want you to notice, at the end of Matthew chapter 28, God made this promise. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Look at how Matthew 28 is written. You have the preamble. All authority has been given to me. The Lordship of Jesus. And the mission order. Make disciples. And look at the promise. The promise is, I am with you always. Notice the word, I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. Can you ask yourself, why is Jesus giving that promise, I am with you always? Why do you like to be with somebody? You will only like to be with somebody because you love the person. When you love somebody, you like to be with that person. I want you to have this conviction that God loves you. He loved you, He loved me so much that He wants to be with us forever. And God's presence is our greatest security. God's presence is our greatest comfort. The promise of His presence. And this is because God loves you. He loves me. This is so real. I want to share with you why this is so important. One of our pastors, Albert Rodriguez, shared his story with us about what happened to his wife. Albert Rodriguez and his wife Gina has been close friends. We have known each other for over 30 years. Albert and his wife came to our Bible study. At that time, they were not yet followers of Jesus. But God did something amazing. God, by His grace, allowed Albert to come to know Him. And both Albert and Gina became a disciple of Jesus. I want you to hear the story of Albert regarding his wife, who recently passed away.
My name is Albert Rodriguez, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I met my wife, Gina, when we were teenagers. After finishing my studies abroad, I came back to the Philippines and courted her. After a brief courtship, we got married. For the first 15 years of our marriage, although we had started attending Pastor Peter's Bible studies way back in 85, our commitment to God was lukewarm at best. When the severe storms of life came, we buckled under and gave up on our faith. In the early 90s, my relationship with God was almost non-existent, and I was living a double life for all those years. In 96, God started to rebuild our lives. Gina began to reacquaint herself with Diona after suffering from a severe bout of depression. She slowly got back on track with her relationship with God. At this time, God allowed my sins to be exposed in order for me to come clean to Him. He gave me that opportunity to finally surrender everything to Him in brokenness. Slowly but surely, God began to restore us back and rebuild us to a life of loving commitment to Him. In 97, we started to lead a D group in our home. Since then, we opened up our home and have been discipling for over 20 years now. In 2011, we were challenged to start CCF Makati and have been serving there since then. In May 2019, my wife began to manifest severe pain in her abdominal and pelvic area. Despite seeing various specialists, they could not detect any serious illness. By September, the pain had become excruciating. It was only a month after that it was finally diagnosed that Gina had squamous cell carcinoma, stage 3B cancer. The next 3 months were spent mostly in the hospital as she went through chemo and radiation therapy. By mid-December last year, we received the good news that the tumor had disappeared, and we thankfully began to look forward to her recovery. On the first week of January, we finally went home. 2 months later, we were supposed to get another PET CT scan to follow up what had happened to her. But unfortunately, the pandemic was already creating havoc, and Gina refused to go to the hospital. By April, she began to complain about pains in various parts of her body. At first, we thought it was some kind of bone-related arthritis or similar sickness. By this time, without our knowing, the cancer had already metastasized and spread to several parts of her body. When we were finally able to do another PET scan in June, this confirmed the extent of the secondary cancer, which had aggressively spread so quickly in such a short period of time. The next 2 months were time spent in deep prayer and reflection as we faced the truth that God may very well be calling her home. Our continuous prayer was for a miraculous healing by our Jehovah Rapha. God finally answered us. A few minutes before midnight of August 12, God finally healed Gina completely. Not in this world, but in heaven. Even though we were given time to prepare, the sudden reality that the love of my life was not with us anymore shook me as I came to grips with God's decision to say no to our non-ending petition. As we all went through this reality, God fulfilled His promise of comfort and peace. Gina's last words to me were not to worry about her. She was totally at peace. In fact, she was very excited to meet God. Her faith and trust in God were so very inspiring and encouraging. Before her final days, she would wake up and be surprised, saying, "Oh, am I still here?" One time she woke up and with a big smile on her face said, "Wow, I am going to heaven." Her selfless love and concern for others was so evident despite her condition. As her sickness rapidly ravaged her body and her energy began to decline, she spent her last days spending time giving us advice on how to continue on with God's work. She even counseled some ladies, either through phone or messaging. One of the blessings that God had allowed her to experience was when her parents told her she need not worry about them because they too had accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I knew this would give Gina peace, knowing that this was her earnest prayer. Friends, as we move forward in our own individual mission here on earth, let us remember her. We look forward to that day of reunion with her with great anticipation. Meantime, we continue the good fight, which is very much a part of her legacy to all of us. As we grapple with the pain, we stick together as one and continue to see God's will and perspective in this situation. We press on as we recall the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. All glory and honor and praise to our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you all.
What do you notice about the story of Albert? Albert was sharing with us how Gina was so prepared. That Gina was not afraid to die. Just this morning, Albert shared with a group of men something that is so touching. That Gina was so in love with Jesus that she would wake up and said, "How come I'm not yet in heaven?" She wanted to be in heaven. And Albert told us, "I will tell you, brothers, I will no longer be afraid of dying because Jesus is real. His presence is real. And when I saw how my wife faced death the past few weeks, the assurance, the peace, I am no longer afraid to die." My question to all of us is this. Do you have the assurance that when you die, you'll be with Jesus? And that, my friend, is why the Great Commission is so important. I have the conviction that God loves us, that He wants to be with us. And this offer is for everybody. I want to encourage you, to those of you who know Jesus, are you willing to accept the call of Jesus to go make disciples? I am asking us to commit to the mission of Jesus. I am asking you to commit to the Great Commission. Because it is not just a command. It is a privilege for you and me to serve the King of Kings. Are you going to take the Great Commission seriously? Are you going to get involved in making disciples all over the world, all over the spheres of your influence? I encourage you to join our discipleship training. I encourage you to enlist in Go Viral. We will teach you how to do this, to reach out to the world. Next week, we will start a new series called Motivate. We are going to teach people how to disciple others. 8 principles on how to disciple others, beginning with your own family members, your loved ones, with your friends, with your office mates. How do you lovingly influence them? And I encourage all of you to start joining starting next Sunday. To those of you who are very honest and say, "You know what? I'm not sure. I'm afraid to die. I don't have peace. I don't have the assurance of Gina. I don't have the assurance of Pastor Albert Rodriguez. I'm afraid." I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life, to accept the offer of Jesus, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You see, the Great Commission, the message of the Great Commission is Jesus. Are you willing to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? If you are, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I don't have peace. I'm afraid of dying. I have religion, but I don't have that relationship with Jesus. I now pray, open my eyes. Give me a humble heart. Lord Jesus, I accept you today. I accept you right now as my Lord, as my Savior. I ask you to forgive all of my sins. I accept your gift of eternal life. Change my heart. Make me a true disciple that I can serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who have known the Lord, but you have never committed your life to make disciples, who will make disciples? You have been attending church. You have been attending Bible studies. But you have not obeyed the Great Commission. Why don't I pray for you? Pray this prayer with me. Because only God can change our heart. I want all CCFers to be committed. But I cannot force you. Only you can make that decision. So I want you to pray to Jesus. If you are willing to say, Lord, you love me so much, I will follow you. I will make disciples. Lord Jesus, it is my humble prayer that you will change my heart. Give me the desire and the opportunities to make disciples. Lord, I'm committing myself today to embrace the Great Commission, to go into all the world, share the gospel, and make disciples. Help me to begin by sharing the gospel with my own family members. Help me to begin by making disciples with my own family members and my friends. Lord Jesus, will you help me? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If this message has been very meaningful to you and you would like to chat with us or you have made that commitment, we would love to pray for you. We would love to help you. Will you let us know? Click on the box provided below. Your decisions, whether it's your first time to come to know Jesus or you are making a commitment to fulfill the Great Commission, we'll be happy to pray for you and to listen to you. If you have been blessed by this message, I strongly encourage you to share this message. You send the link to your friends, to your family members. In fact, even invite them to watch with you. Next week, invite others to watch with you. In a short while, we will have fast-track questions that are so amazing, it will touch your heart. And do you know who's going to ask me those questions? They are none other than a former PBA basketball player, Doug Kramer, and his wife, Cheska. They have wonderful questions, which will bless you. There is a song that has so touched my heart. It's a reminder of God's love. You know why? My conviction is the Great Commission is all because of God's love for you and for me. It's a song about love. Here are some suggested discussion questions that I hope you'll discuss with your family members. Why are these convictions important? Discuss. How do you grow in developing these convictions? You know, convictions grow. Sometimes, I fail in developing certain convictions. How will you obey the Great Commission to help make disciples? How will you apply this among your family members, among your friends? And feel free to add other discussion questions. May God bless you richly as you discuss this.
Thanks for watching. We would like to invite you to be a Christ-committed follower by being part of the movement as we honor God and obey His Great Commission. To find out if there's a CCF satellite near you, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/satellites. We also want to encourage you to join a small discipleship group where you can deepen your knowledge and love for Jesus and others. To sign up, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/discipleship group. All of CCF's video resources are available free of charge and are constantly being improved by our team. Would you consider supporting CCF through prayer and giving so more people can be blessed? You can give securely through our website at www.ccf.org.ph/give. For more videos like this, please subscribe to our channel. Thanks, and God bless.